purposes of that, I'm going to call to order the business session. And we will begin, as is our custom, with public comment. And I know Mayor Bowers is here with a significant delegation. And Mayor, we'd love to welcome you to the microphone, and please introduce those who are here with you. And there are several other people who have signed up, and we'll take them in the order that, that they sign up. So, Mayor, the floor is yours. Please come on up, introduce yourself, and tell us what's on your mind.
Oh, only about $70 million is on our mind this morning.
Mine too.
Good morning, Mr. Secretary and members of the board. Our own colleague, Dana Martin, good to see you here as well. There are several folks from the Roanoke Valley area. I'm pleased to have, may I just ask them to stand, and a few of them will be speaking as well. Gwen Mason is a member of Roanoke City Council. Billy Martin is a member of the Botetourt, just raise your hand. They'll know which one Gwen is. Billy Martin is the member of the Botetourt County Board of Supervisors. Kevin Bogies is the city manager in Salem. Clay Goodman has been in several positions. He's now the county manager in Roanoke County. Our assistant chief, Tartaglia. Bob Bingston is the director of public works for the city of Roanoke, and Wayne Strickland is the executive director of the regional commission. So thank you for hearing us.
Thank you, Mayor, and welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Secretary. I know your time is valuable, and I will be brief. I understand that you've all been through a very grueling and daunting budget process. We have as well in Roanoke this year. I can only briefly, I guess, or in a small way, begin to understand what it is that you must be going through. On behalf of the people of Roanoke, I want to share with you a private improvement opportunity, a public improvement opportunity that will provide significant transportation improvements and economic dividends at the state and local level. As the mayor of the biggest city in Western Virginia, I'm pleased to tell you a little bit about the biggest highway project that we see of importance to the people of Roanoke. During the 1990s, the city of Roanoke funded at its own expense a $7 million partial interchange to provide new access for the regional shopping area known as Valley View out on I-581. As those of you familiar with Roanoke may already know, Valley View Mall and other adjoining retail establishments comprise an economic development engine that provides an enhanced shopping experience for the entire region. Upon completion in 1999, the partial interchange significantly improved access and mobility, which provided much needed relief for the I-581 interchange at Hershberger Road, just about a mile and a half north of this partial interchange. And it supported continued retail growth in the Valley View area. In fact, new retail served by the partial interchange generated $4 million in state sales tax revenue just last year. When this partial interchange was approved by federal and state transportation officials back in the 90s, it came with an obligation for the Commonwealth to ultimately complete the interchange to allow for all traffic movements. In recent years, nearly $70 million was allocated in our six-year improvement program for this very purpose. However, recent transportation program reductions reduced this amount to $5 million, leaving only enough to fund the engineering phase of the project, which is under contract at this time. In fact, representatives of the Federal Highway Administration, VDOT, and the City of Roanoke have been actively meeting over the past 2 years to develop concept plans for this project. Now, this project may not be shovel-ready tomorrow, but it is important to note that it is a potential cash cow for the people of Western Virginia. And that's because, aside from the transportation effort, there remains approximately 100 acres of undeveloped land along the west side of I-581, right in the city of Roanoke, across from Valley View Mall. Developers have expressed a sincere interest in creating new shopping and retail opportunities on this property. We believe that investment might be upwards to $200 million. However, access is the primary reason that this land remains undeveloped. As a landlocked city with 92% of its land already developed, Completion of the Valley View Interchange Project represents a clear opportunity to stimulate economic activity for the entire Roanoke region and Virginia while further improving access for the existing Valley View area. We know that the comparison of funding among transportation districts indicates that the percent funding decrease for the Salem District remains substantially higher than others. It is our hope that with your leadership and support, these differences could be more equitably balanced, thereby providing an opportunity to fund the implementation of this worthy project. In that regard, our desire would be that the funding in the range of $50 to $70 million be reallocated towards this Valley View Interchange Improvement Project, thereby fulfilling a significant transportation and economic development need for Roanoke and Western Virginia. On behalf of the people of Roanoke, thank you for your consideration. Thank you, Mr. Secretary.
Thank you, Mayor. Are other members of your group planning to speak?
Good morning, Secretary Homer. Members of the Commonwealth Transportation Board, Commissioner Eckern, Director Badger. My name is Wayne Strickland, and I'm Secretary of the Roanoke Valley Area Metropolitan Planning Organization, and also the Executive Director of the Roanoke Valley Regional Allegheny Regional Commission. And we've come today with some elected officials and chief administrative officials to talk about funding transportation projects in the greater region. We serve an area from about the size of the state of Delaware, from the Allegheny Highlands, the West Virginia border, all the way to Henry County. I'd like to start by thanking the board for your work to equalize the funding reductions across all VDOT districts for the revised FY 2009-2014 six-year improvement program. I know that Dana was there in January when we talked in Dublin about our concern about the high reduction or the 48% reduction of funds for the Salem district. We were very pleased that that was changed. The members of the MPO and the Regional Commission were certainly glad to see that the final revised set that the Salem District's funding reduction was adjusted down to 39%, which was somewhat closer to the statewide average reduction of 26%. But nonetheless, the funding reduction halted some of our region's highest priority projects, such as improvements to Elm Avenue, the Valley View Interchange that the mayor just talked about on 581, improvements to the I-81 exit 150, and the widening of Route 220 in Botetourt County. Widening of Route 221 and Route 11-460 in Roanoke County, and the widening of Route 460 in the city of Salem. And most of these projects have been on the MPO's long-range transportation plan for more than a decade. And they have tremendous support from elected officials and from citizens throughout our area. And these improvements aren't solely congestion-related. They're related to safety as well. If you've ever been through Roanoke on 581 around 5:30, 6 o'clock in the afternoon, you'll see traffic backed up on Elm Avenue out on 581, back into the travel lanes. And it's a very dangerous situation. So it's for relieving congestion, but it's a safety issue for not only the residents of the Roanoke area, but also the traveling public for those who are coming to visit our area. Now, we clearly understand that the current state and federal transportation funding is not adequate to address the needs of the Commonwealth. However, we feel that significant progress can be made on all of our highest priorities using the federal stimulus funding, as almost all of them are in a position to be substantially completed by 2012. I'd also like to take this opportunity to support Board Member Martin's proposal to keep the Troutville and Oronto rest areas open. These rest areas are located approximately the midpoint of the Interstate 81 corridor, and they serve both north and southbound travelers. Now, the rest areas provides a chance for the travelers to rest. It also does something else. I don't know if you know about our highway safety corridor area there right along Interstate 81. Well, it prepares them to understand what it means to enter that corridor. I mean, there are signs there. It would prepare the people to know that they need to slow down. This is a dangerous corridor, and that's why the speed is reduced in that area. And, of course, by eliminating the rest areas, we could also increase the traffic congestion, particularly the truck traffic congestion at exit 150. And the elimination of the rest areas will only exacerbate the existing problems we have at that interchange. Now, I haven't come to, you know, give you a hard time because I know it's not your problem. No. And we realize that there's simply not enough transportation funding to accommodate every region's projects. And we acknowledge that the CTB is not responsible for the amount of funding that's available for transportation. The Regional Commission, the MPO, and our local governments will continue to advocate that the General Assembly identify an acceptable funding source that provides the CTB with an opportunity to address Virginia's transportation needs. We stand with you, and we look forward to working with you to address the transportation challenges we face today and into the future. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Strickland. Anybody else from the Roanoke Group? Mr. Goodman, welcome.
Secretary, members of the board, Mr. Martin, thank you all for allowing me to speak just briefly. I've been at Roanoke County about 2 months. I previously worked at Montgomery County, but I've worked in the area. I want to thank you all for two projects that are going, one's underway, one that's going to be bid very soon, and then talk briefly about a candidate for a future funding project. The first one is Colonial Avenue, Route 720. You authorized that project to move forward, and it's under construction now. For that, I want to thank you for allowing it to continue, even though you had a lot of financial reductions and so forth. The second one is the Route 11460 widening West Main Street project, which has been fully funded and is scheduled for bid date in July or August of 2009. So once again, this is a major project for Roanoke County, and we want to thank you for that. The third project I want to offer to you as a potential candidate in the future is you see things change and so forth as we work on our budgets throughout the year, and that is Route 221 reconstruction. And the add date was scheduled for January 12, 2010. Of course, we know it's not fully funded. And it has approximately, I believe, $7.4 million on it, and we have a remaining balance of approximately $29. Even though it's not funded, the design is on schedule to meet a January advertisement. So what I guess I'm saying is this project also could be eligible for federal funds. So if you have the opportunity, if you look and check the bag for money and look at all your different projects, I would like to offer to you that maybe this would be a strong candidate for future funding as funds may become available. And once again, I want to thank you for all your work. I know you're having difficult times like all of us, but once again, I appreciate your help and look forward to working with you in the future. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Goodman.
Good morning, Secretary Homer. I'm Gwen Mason from Roanoke City Council, and I'm the last of the Roanoke posse to speak before you this morning. As you know, we made a pre-dawn trip to be with you this morning, and certainly appreciate those rest stops on 64. I'm sure you've heard a lot about rest stops on 81. Thank you for your service and for your courtesy in receiving us this morning. I think if we have one message for you as elected officials, it is we know. As Mayor Bowers referenced, all of us have gone through, as you are going through, a grueling process of balancing our budgets at a time when revenues are restricted. So we understand you don't have a money tree and you are in the difficult situation of paring down and stalling or reducing projects that are critical to our economic development and safety in the Roanoke Valley. Having said that, we are very cognizant of the fact that the Salem District is taking a harder hit than other districts. You've heard the projects that we're interested in across the valley, 460, Route 11, Route 221, Route 220, Elm Avenue, and the Valley View Interchange. And I will just say that Elm Avenue exit is really a mess. And it's just a matter of time, I think, before we have a situation there that we're really going to regret because traffic does back up so much. Reliable funding for infrastructure, as you know, is essential to us to grow and flourish as a region. I do want to make somewhat of a confession here for purposes of full disclosure. I am a candidate for the House of Delegates. I'm running for the 17th District, William Fralin seat. And I know that it really ends up back on the shoulders of the General Assembly. And frankly, if I'm successful, we've just got to get on with it and reach a consensus and get the funds that we need. And I recognize that as a candidate, but again, I'm appearing before you as a grateful elected official and one appreciative of your efforts, and again, just ask you to help us with our fair share in Southwest Virginia. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Mason, and thank you for your continued advocacy for transportation and for safety. It's deeply appreciated.
Thank you. Thank you. Nice to see you all.
Mayor, anybody else from your delegation wish to speak this morning? If not, I know I speak for the entire board. When you mention the pre-dawn trips, that is appreciated. That's a big bite out of the day and a commitment of time, and it underscores the commitment of your community and your region to focus on necessary transportation improvements. So we do appreciate that.
Thank you. It was important for us to be here. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next signed up speaker under a public time is Robert Grimacy with the Allegheny Public School System. Welcome, Mr. Superintendent, sir.
Good morning again, Mr. Secretary, and members of the Commonwealth Transportation Board. My name is Robert P. Bob Grimacy, and I'm a resident of Covington, Virginia. I serve as superintendent of Allegheny County Public Schools. We have a mini delegation here with us this evening, also represented by Wayne Strickland as well. I speak on behalf this morning of the children, employees, and patrons who travel on Interstate 64 or on the roads directly parallel to the interstate in the vicinity of the Island Ford Bridge and Exit 24 at Dabney S. Lancaster Community College. And I do want to assure Secretary Homer this morning that I am not stalking him. It is true that I've addressed you previously in Salem in 2007 and in Harrisonburg in 2008 on this same matter. However, my continued presence merely underscores the seriousness with which our community perceives this matter. I also hope that with each presentation, you have sensed the appreciation that we hold for CTB's efforts to advance essential safety improvements on I-64 in Allegheny County. Still, my message remains the same. As a superintendent of schools, it's important that I point out that there is no more significant and immediate threat to the safety of Allegheny County students than the proximity of interstate traffic, including tractor trailers, to high volumes of school and work-related traffic along Winterberry Avenue and Irvin Farm Road. The state can encourage us to do tornado drills, but what we're more concerned about is doing drills involving volatile materials that may have an accident and explode and block in Mountain View and Clifton Middle schools from a bridge that runs parallel to the interstate. You'll recall that this project was given final approval for construction by 2010 and that it was canceled last winter as a result of the severe state budget shortfall, as well as other factors that negatively impacted the state transportation budget. You recall that this was just one more in a long series of postponements of this project. With the opportunity afforded by supplemental funds associated with the 2009 American Recovery and Reinvestment Act, we hope that the project can be restored and that work may proceed in 2010 as originally scheduled. Finally, it's important to note that there's been a significant drop in the cost of this project, whereas it was projected in 2008 to cost over $30 million. Subsequent design revisions contributed to a substantial cost reduction to about $20 million, providing more effective safety barriers that facilitated improved drainage and which are more aesthetically pleasing. The new design, less costly design, was positively received by our community during public hearing last December. I thank you again for your time and attention. And if there is any way that I, my staff, or any member of the Allegheny County School Board can be of assistance in your efforts to deliberate on this particular project, please don't hesitate to contact us. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Grimacy. And just note for the board, that is one of the projects that has been recommended for approval that we'll be voting on here this morning on a resolution for the stimulus funding to fully fund that project and to take it to construction early next year. The next speaker is Leanne Gray with Allegheny County Schools also.
Good morning, and thank you again so much for the second opportunity to speak to you on behalf of the teachers, bus drivers, and families of Mountain View Elementary and Clifton Middle Schools in Allegheny County. We also had a very pre-dawn 4:30 trip this morning, so I really appreciate your time. I addressed you as a board in May of 2007 to strenuously request your attention to a need for a concrete barrier to separate the access road leading to our school from the high volume of traffic on Interstate 64 between exits 21 and 24. At that time, I also provided pictures of two accidents that had occurred on this road during school hours. Each time I travel this access road to Mountain View with my two children in the back seat, I am very mindful that there is virtually nothing to prevent one of the many tractor trailers traveling on 64 from veering off the interstate directly into the access road traffic, or from tires and debris from these vehicles landing on our side of the road. My concerns are even more elevated on the days like this morning when my children ride the bus to school and I'm not able to directly supervise their commute. I understand that at this time there is a reasonable possibility that funding may have become available for this barrier to be constructed. My hope and expectation is that you as a board will reduce the imminent danger that faces our school community by making this project a priority for completion as soon as possible. An ounce of prevention in this case may be much safer than the pound of cure, and I thank you for your consideration of this barrier. Also, as an aside, will say that Valley View Mall in Roanoke is the closest shopping establishment to my home in Allegheny County, so I will stand with my compadres from Roanoke and fully support any efforts to make my commute to the mall easier. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Gray. The next speaker is David Halsey. Welcome, Mr. Halsey.
Good morning, Mr. Secretary and members of the Transportation Board. My name is David Halsey. I am Vice Chairman of the Allegheny County Public School System. I'm also a parent that transport my son back and forth to the school up and down Bird Farm Road in the mornings. Over the 4 years that I have been transporting my child to school, I have witnessed two accidents along Bird Farm Road on the interstate. Two of those accidents, out of one of them, I was there at the time that I made the 911 call when the accident occurred. I cannot help to think that tractor trailers traveling that section of road in the morning with buses coming down Bird Farm Road is definitely a safety problem that, as a parent, I have a lot of concern for. I would ask that you highly consider this application for the stimulus funds to put a barrier along this road. I, too, traveled down the road early this morning and been an early morning riser, an early morning driver or rider, whatever. I would like to say that the time of morning that these buses are traveling Bird Farm Road, we have a lot of early morning commuters on the road. People that's been traveling all night, by 7:30, 8 o'clock in the morning, they're sleepy. Ones that's just getting out in the morning, they're also tired. So that's a very dangerous time of morning to have traffic along that section of interstate, and I would really, as a safety issue, please consider funding for this project, and I just want to thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Halsey. And for all of those who came all the way from Allegheny County, thank you for the early morning ride. It's a strong statement of support and concern on behalf of your community. So thank you for your effort and your time to be with the board this morning. The next speaker is Megan Swida with the Hospitality Association. Welcome, Ms. Swida.
Thank you all for the opportunity to come before you. My name is Megan Swida, and I'm with Virginia Hospitality and Travel Association. I saw most of you at all of the district meetings across the state in March, and I want to thank you very much for allowing us the opportunity to have come before you and allow us to voice our concerns on the issue of the rest areas. My association represents travel, restaurants, and hotels. You've all heard the statistics before and the numbers about how much money we bring to the state, how much we provide in tax revenue, statewide and locality-wise. The deal, though, is that that money pays for education, for emergency services, all things that we all use. The problem is that these rest areas allow those opportunities for marketing for many of the attractions that have no money for marketing. You know, there was a statement yesterday that we're just talking about toilets. Well, I can assure you, I would have not driven all across the state the month of March and April. I would not sat through the meeting yesterday. I would not have written letters and made phone calls because of toilets. If that were the case, then I would just be home. I'm here because these are people's lives. These are people's college educations. These are people's band uniforms. These are their businesses, and this is how they live. If they don't have the opportunity to market themselves, they cannot survive. And that is our plea. And I know we've heard comments about how, well, then why isn't tourism coming up with ideas? Well, strangely enough, we have come up with the ideas. Problem is, you're asking the wrong people. If you ask DTC, well, they're a state agency. They're not the industry. Rest areas don't matter as much to them. But for those of us that this is how we make our money and this is how we make our living and provide for our families, we do care. We've got some great ideas on ways to make y'all some money. We would just like the opportunity to come sit down and talk with you on the issue of the gas tax increase. Every year it just seems like, oh, it's VDOT coming back asking for more money. It would help to have an industry who relies on cars on the road to get to their businesses to help lobby for a gas tax increase. Now, I'm not a savior. I'm not a saint. I can't promise you that we're going to get a gas tax increase. But I can tell you that as an industry that relies solely on cars on the road, that would feel very strongly one way or another on this issue, we would be supporting you in a gas tax increase. You know, when I talk to my members and I talk to legislators on this issue, I tell them, especially those that have a business, in 2009, would you be able to run your business on a 1986 budget and survive? That's the big one. Can you run it and survive? Everyone can pretend that they can run on that, but can you actually survive? They say no, and I said, well, you're asking VDOT to do it. So the issue here is you need a gas tax increase. We need rest areas to stay open so we keep our jobs. Can we help each other? How does that happen? We need time. You know, there were comments made yesterday by the board that $9 million is just pennies on y'all's budget. Now, it sounds like a lot of money, but in the grand scheme of things, it's just pennies. The issue here is that you've received a lot of money as stimulus funding. While none of it can go to the rest areas, you could do exactly what the General Assembly and Governor Kane did this year, which is fill the holes that need filled the most right now and postpone. Let's see how the economy changes. Let's see if we have any other changes that can better us off for next year. And that's what we ask for this. You've received a lot of money, and I know it can't go to the rest areas, and I completely understand that. And I know that there are a lot of areas that need help. But we ask that you would just help us out by postponing, allow us another General Assembly session to either A, lobby for a gas tax increase, or B, to sit down at the table and give you our other ideas on ways that we can make money for this. So that's our plea, that's our ask. I would never want to be you right now, because not only are you looking at people on the outside of VDOT, you're looking at people on the inside of VDOT and trying to decide what's best. But as an industry, we do plead that you would leave these open and allow us the opportunity to come, sit down, and have a discussion with you. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Ms. Wyda. The next signed-up speaker is Champ Burnley with the Richmond Area Bicycling Association. Welcome, Mr. Burnley.
Mr. Secretary, members of the board, my name is Champ Burnley. I'm president of the Richmond Area Bicycling Association. I'm also on the board of the Virginia Bicycling Federation, and I promise to be brief. On May 1st, the Virginia Bicycling Federation presented a resolution to Governor Kane requesting that bike and pedestrian paths, rail trails, be included as an integral and mandatory component of taxpayer-funded railroad expansion, enhancement, and improvement projects. We currently have 30 national, statewide, and local organizations supporting this resolution, including, among others, the League of American Bicyclists, the Rails to Trails Conservancy, Bike Walk Virginia, and the statewide chapter of the Sierra Club. We also have over 750 individuals that have signed on to support this resolution as well. We believe that including Rails with Trails as an integral part of these projects is consistent with state and federal transportation policies. It reduces air pollution and congestion. It provides safe and practical transportation connectors in and between communities, and it promotes tourism and economic development within the Commonwealth. More importantly, these facilities promote healthy lifestyles for our citizens. As Governor Kane stated last Friday as he participated in the National Bike to Work Day, and I quote, "There's no system we can design in terms of health care that will enable others to take care of people who lead increasingly unhealthy lifestyles. We have to lead healthy lifestyles, and exercise is right at the core of it, and cycling is a great way to do it." The Virginia Bicycling Federation believes that supporting Rails with Trails is an opportunity for the Commonwealth to take a leadership role in creating a nationwide network of alternative transportation facilities that directly benefits our citizens. We encourage the Commonwealth Transportation Board to endorse, support, and fund these multimodal facilities moving forward. Secretary, I have about a dozen copies of the actual resolution, and if we can get staff to make a few more, I'd be happy to share these with CDD.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Burnley.
Thanks very much.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Burnley. The next signed up speaker is Mr. Stuart Schwartz, speaking for a variety of organizations.
Yes, ma'am.
Many hats.
I am wearing many hats today. I'm the executive director of the Coalition for Smarter Growth. I also serve on the board of the Virginia Conservation Network. And yesterday when we learned that you were going to be addressing the stimulus and the remaining portion of the stimulus beyond the 120-day portion, we did a very quick sign-on letter that nine of our groups signed on to. It includes bike and pedestrian groups, rail groups, and conservation groups. First, before I even get to that, I recognize the difficult choices you all are facing. I am supremely impressed by what the staff has been doing and the number crunching that they've been doing on this. It's a very tough time, and as a nonprofit, I understand that as well. So you're a larger nonprofit, I guess. On the stimulus, first of all, we commend the focus on fix it first that we're seeing, especially the bridge repair needs that were identified and are being funded. I think folks are very happy with the full funding for some of those enhancements projects, those trail projects, and the flexing of money to the intercity rail needs. You're actually doing better than many other states in focusing on these fix-it-first approaches. Second, despite the input on the governor's stimulus site, we think that additional public input would be helpful, especially for these new construction projects you're considering with the remaining part of the stimulus project. As you yourselves have noted yesterday, you've got to make some really tough statewide prioritization decisions. I have no doubt you're making those internally, but I think, like the six-year plan process, looking at the new construction portion of the stimulus, we'd be interested in an opportunity to comment on those in more detail. Our letter also talks about the fact that the STP, Surface Transportation Program, should not just be identified in the briefings as highway dollars. And as the Secretary said yesterday, those are flexible dollars that can be used for a variety of things, including pedestrian and bicycle needs, bridge repair as you're doing, rail, and transit. And taking advantage of that flexibility both with the stimulus and with future federal STP dollars, I think it's important for doing the innovative things that Governor Kaine wants us to do in linking land use and transportation. Last point on the stimulus. I think it's very helpful to know that we have $3.7 billion in structurally deficient bridges and about $1 billion in deficient pavement, showing the backlog that we have today. It's sobering, too. And Mr. Witt pointed out yesterday the importance of fix it first. We've got to maintain and repair what we've already built. We think that means smart growth is more important than ever. Revitalization of our cities, redevelopment of commercial strip corridors, revitalization investment in towns, places where we already have infrastructure, will save us because we won't have to build new facilities, and hopefully the developers will help us in that redevelopment, fixing that older infrastructure. So we think it pays double dividends. Lastly, I'm going to turn quickly to the Culpeper Western Outer Loop that comes before you today, and I regret we weren't able to be here last month. I do work statewide. I work with a number of groups around the state, but I also work with the Piedmont Environmental Council in doing a quick look at this, and I think the project is symbolic of the challenges that face you. We understand the interests of towns and communities around the Commonwealth to address their traffic problems and get necessary investment in that. But we think because you have to make these very hard choices, you have to ask for more information and you need stronger analysis in what you're going forward with. This is an $11.1 billion project, the selected alternative, but it very clearly states that this is just phase one. Phase two is a second segment, which is about 1.5 times as long, could be about $17 million just doing the math, for a total bill of $28 to $29 million. The town is pitching in $1 million, but that still leaves you $27 or $28 million for just this one project. And we think there's too little information before you. There are traffic counts, but I don't see in the materials the traffic origins and destinations, which should be briefed to you. How many of these trips that would be served by this are westbound going north, northbound going west, or east-west, which seem to be the three main movements that this is would address. We agree with about the traffic problem in the town. I've experienced it myself at the rush hour there. But you need those traffic origins and destinations. I do think, as well, for the future, we have to look at the growth projections. Those could be very different from when this comprehensive plan was first developed with this, because how much the market has changed. We don't have the leverage in the mortgage market that we've seen in the past. Gas prices, a number of other factors. But I think the most significant thing is the lack of full alternatives analysis. The public was given two build alternatives and a no build. So effectively they were choosing between two build alternatives on pretty similar alignments. They split for about a third of the way. That's like being given Pepsi and Coke or nothing, and not being given the option for some water if you're thirsty. I mean, and at a time, again, when we face such financial problems, let's look at alternatives, especially less costly alternatives. And there could be local road connection alternatives for tenths of a mile that would be much more effective in addressing those three movements I talked about. And we looked at Old Rixieville Road connecting north-south and a slight east-west connector to the 15 business as one potential piece. There are some design issues. I don't know how you do a road with 12-foot wide lanes and bike lanes. It means it's a very high design speed, and I'm not sure the bike lanes will be safe. There's a water supply issue. This will go past where the town of Culpeper may expand its water supply in the one lake, and then the second segment would go past Lake Pelham, named after one of my ancestors, as a matter of fact, which is another significant water supply. And it should be of some concern that we put a road with all the runoff pollutants and so forth upstream from the water supply. And it could require even higher treatment costs. So not only would the town be paying in $1 million for the road, but they may be paying for higher treatment costs. So I think our main case here is that you need more information. We recommend a deferral of this item. We really need more extensive alternatives analysis for projects like these. And we're really going to have to apply these standards to these types of road proposals for all of our jurisdictions. I know we're trying to solve these problems. We agree with it. But in many cases, we think these local road network, shorter and smaller connections can meet the needs and the challenges that we're facing. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Schwartz. Is there anybody else who would like to address the board? Mr. Land. Followed by Mr. Baquet.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, I apologize for not signing the sign-up sheet. I guess I need to be more observant. I did not notice it when I came
all
in
are
this
well.
Morning. Thank you. I just wanted to make a few statements in front of the board. First of all, I wanted to thank you very much for what you have done. I know that this, like everybody else has said, this has been a very difficult process for you. As I was sitting through your five-hour-long meeting yesterday, I heard a lot of statements that had been made that seemed to reflect a concern about local governments, which I could not help but listen to. I think for county officials especially, we are going through a historic time where the ground underneath their feet is undergoing a major shift. And I think that this means that we are going to continue doing what we've done in the past, which is to make sure that the partnership between your secretariat, VDOT, and localities continues to be strengthened, because we are going to be working as hard as we can in helping counties undergo a transition with what appears to be a collapse in the secondary road program and, of course, consolidation in residencies. And again, we know how difficult of a process this has been for you. You have been dealing with an awful lot of realities that are beyond your control, and I want you to be assured that the Virginia Association of Counties is going to be working as hard as we can over the next year, as we've tried to do over the last 20 years with the General Assembly, to make sure that there is an understanding about the kinds of budget realities there are, what kind of shortfalls really do need to be corrected in order for Virginia's transportation infrastructure to be repaired. This is a very important issue to the Virginia Association of Counties. It is a very important issue to Virginia's counties. And again, let me just say that I really do appreciate your responsiveness to us. Every time we have asked you for information, all your offices have been very responsive to us. The secretary, the commissioner, have always been regular attendees and active participants in our meetings, and I think the communications have been wonderful. And I just want to say I hope that will continue, because we need to work together. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Land. Anybody else wish to address the board? Okay, given the hour, what I'd like to do, because I know some members have to leave, I have to leave a little bit before 11 to go testify in front of the Senate Finance Committee. What I'd like to do is to take up the business agenda now, and that's going to affect some of the staff time, and then come back and do some of the remaining work session items. But I think we can get through the business agenda fairly quickly. Oh, okay. Let's take a five-minute break. We have one issue we got to resolve with Mr. Walton and the commissioner.
We are on the business agenda,
and we have concluded the public comment session.
I don't think she would like.
Is there a motion to approve the April minutes?
Move to approve.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Action item one is within the maintenance division, which is a commemorative naming of the Ross Branham Bridge in Dickinson County. Are there any questions of Ms. Sorrell?
Move to approve.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Action item two, Dr. Mary Lynn Tischer is here to answer any questions on the multimodal planning fund allocation. You had a presentation on this last week. Are there any questions?
Move approval.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Action item three is a byway designation in Loudoun County. Mr. Estes is here to answer any questions. Is there a motion?
I move its approval, Mr. Chairman.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Action item four, Ms. Busher is here to answer any questions. These are the additional projects of the Recovery and Reinvestment Act of 2009. Are there any questions of Ms. Busher?
Just one. I want to make sure. Did I understand you to say that this project in Allegheny is one they were talking about?
Yes. Yes, sir. That's about a $20 million project. And I would say, again, so many of these projects in the Recovery Act have been through an extensive vetting and public hearing process. And we're simply restoring things that a year and a half ago were in the 6-year program. This Allegheny project, though, is one that I have a particular affection for. If you've ever driven where the overlap of where 64 takes off from I-81, literally the interstate, and there are parallel roads, a schoolyard, you have oncoming traffic, and there have been crossover crashes. It's a very, very serious safety issue. Should have been addressed years ago, and so. I know Dr. Davis is pleased with that, along with the folks from Allegheny County who made a trip here. Any other questions about the project list? Is there a motion? Mr. Martin?
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Action item 5A is the Augusta County Rail Industrial Access. Any questions of Mr. Page?
Move approval, Mr. Chairman.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Action item 5B, also in Augusta County. Any
Move
questions of Mr. Page?
Move approval, Mr. Chairman.
All in favor?
Aye.
Action item 5C in Northampton County. Any questions of Mr. Page?
Move for approval.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Action item 5D in Botetourt County. Any questions of Mr. Page?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Action item 6A, which is a limited access break. Are there any questions of Ms. Porter in the City of Chesapeake?
Move for approval.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Action item 6B in Carroll County. Any questions of Ms. Porter?
I move for approval.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Action item 6C in Tazewell County.
Move approval.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Action item 6D, also in Tazewell County.
Move approval.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
And action item 7, limited access control in Wise County on Route 23. Any questions of Ms. Porter?
Move approval.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Action item 8 is the location approval on the Western Outer Loop in the county and town of Culpeper. Any questions of Mr. Michel? Is there a motion?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Action item 9 is Mr. Coburn. Is this a good month or a bad month, Mr. Coburn?
Good month, sir. Very busy month.
Okay. Byron, could you do us a favor and tilt down the screen a little bit? Some folks have had a hard time seeing over. Thank you very much.
It's a pleasure, as always, to be here. And as I said, it has been a very busy one. I have both a combination of our normal projects, normal advertisement projects that we'll present to you, as well as the first group of ARRA-funded projects. When we get to those, I'll point those out to you.
And if I might, just setting the table, we will be approving the first Recovery Act or stimulus projects contracts today, which means that work will start immediately, and this is a very important step of the board in addition to some other important projects. In addition, in order to accelerate the stimulus projects, the commissioner is asking for an additional resolution to continue to accelerate those that would allow some additional bids and projects to move forward. We'll be taking that up separately at the conclusion of this section of the agenda.
Mr. Chairman, are we ahead in relative to other states? I would think we have moved with dispatch. Do you have any sense of that?
That's a great question. I think there are a number of states who had projects that were ready to go out to bid, and they simply substituted stimulus funding. We made a policy-level choice to start new projects, in addition to that, to draw a bright line between our regular program and stimulus. So in terms of new projects, I would say that we are ahead of most states, not at the front of the pack. One of the things, though, there are a lot of steps and approvals in the process. If you read, some of the media accounts have suggested that perhaps Virginia is a little slow in terms of overall federal approvals. I would disagree with that characterization. The important thing is we're awarding contracts for new projects that would not have happened but for the stimulus funding, and we'll continue to see those contract approvals over our next several meetings. Mr. Coburn, page one.
Yes, sir. Thank you. The first project, B80, is an interchange improvement, I-95 at Carmel Church in Caroline County. You'll note that we had 8 bidders on this project, very competitive, and folks took advantage of the current pricing market. We recommend its approval to you.
So moved, Mr. Chairman.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
The second project, C-14, is in Salem District, Botetourt and Pulaski County, various locations on Interstate 81. Although there's only one bidder, we believe it's an appropriate bid, and we recommend its approval to you.
Mr. Chairman, do you have a feel for why we only had one bidder in this case?
That particular market is always a very limited market as far as interest. Why we didn't have more bidders on this particular job, I don't know.
I move approval.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Page two.
Page two. 922 is Northern Virginia District, various locations. So this is basic interstate plant mix. Again, there's only one bidder, but it was a very good price. That firm didn't know they would be the only bidder. And there is a competitive market in the Northern Virginia area. And again, I recommend its approval.
I move its approval, Mr. Chairman.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
923, it's in Fairfax and Arlington counties in Northern Virginia, the normal plant mix schedule. We had 2 bidders, and again, we recommend the approval of that project.
I recommend its approval, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Chairman.
Just a question, a curiosity. All the others are substantially, that we've looked at so far, are substantially below the amounts from the 6-year program. This one is actually a bit higher, and I'm just curious why.
There's a number of reasons. Obviously, a firm puts their bid together with the restrictions, et cetera, on how they do that. As we priced that project again, in determining its value, we're looking for discrepancies. We're looking for things that may be a gotcha that the contractor saw that he would put additional risk on. We then try to evaluate that in making our analysis on whether or not it really is a value-oriented bid. We will, from time to time, recommend projects to you that are above our estimate based on that type of a detailed analysis. Once we do that, we discuss those issues with the chief engineer to reach a conclusion in making a recommendation to this board.
Now, I understand the process. I'm just curious why this one is so different than all the others.
This one, I believe, was primarily due to some of the congestion risk that creates a time limitation for certain routes.
Ms. Schwartz, I think I can help a little bit. The asphalt plants in Northern Virginia have hours of restrictions imposed by localities. The traffic means you only get little three-hour windows, and so what could be done in one fell swoop if there were no traffic and there were no limitations on the plant typically gets spread out over, you know, two or three evenings.
So it's a logistics issue.
Okay.
Primarily.
Okay, there's a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Page three.
Page three, excuse me, V26 is the Hampton Boulevard project in the city of Norfolk. It's really part of a series of other projects that we've seen previously. This project is lowering the road, which will go under the railroad, and this is near the vicinity of the Navy Gate 6 at the Navy base there. Additionally, this provides a connection into the Fleet Recreation Park, which you may, that term may trigger your memory from a previous project that we saw. We believe this is an appropriate bid. Notice that we had nine bidders very actively going after this project, and we recommend its approval.
Move approval.
Second.
Before we vote on this, I just want to note the importance of this project because there's a stimulus project. This is separating the rail on the highway on a very congested stretch where you have the trucks coming out from the port. And one of the things we tried to do very successfully, the Port of Virginia has the highest mode split of rail usage on the entire East Coast at about 31%. What this project does is now when the trains come out of NIT, it means they will not block traffic as they do today. And in your stimulus package approvals, which you did just a few moments ago, is a project to double the on-dock rail at the Norfolk International Terminals. We could not have taken that project forward without this one. Doubling the trains would have tied up traffic on Hampton Boulevard to absolutely unacceptable and unsafe levels, but by virtue of this grade separation, we are able to double and really make the Norfolk International Terminals now, certainly on the East Coast, it's already the most rail-efficient port operation on the East Coast, and this will effectively double that between this grade separation and the recovery. And very, very important for the future of the port and for Hampton Roads, and this is an amazing bid. So this is a great news story for the entire Hampton Roads region and the Commonwealth.
And speak to the connection with the Navy base, please.
Excellent point. There are some logistics that go in on rail, obviously, and there's also some entrance points. This is the lead into the larger project there, which is the intermodal connector, the spur off of 564, the Fleet Recreation area that will allow then for trucks to go directly to the interstate for both the Navy base and for the port. This is all part of trying to segregate the logistics traffic out of the Navy base and NIT away from the local traffic on Hampton Boulevard and Terminal Boulevard and some of the other roads.
Right.
Okay, there's a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Page four.
Page four is order number 920. This is various locations in Loudoun County for plant mix and some guardrail upgrades. We did attract four bidders on this project and recommend its approval to you.
Is there a
motion?
Move
approval.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Page 5.
Page 5 is the beginning of the first of the series of ARRA projects that are over $2 million. In addition to this, these series of projects I'm going to discuss with you, we also received two projects which are valued at under $2 million that will be going through our normal process with award by the commissioner. The first of these, over $2 million, is in Washington County. This is on the southbound lane of 81 that entails milling, paving, and some guardrail upgrades. One bidder, however, it's a very good bid, and we recommend its award to you.
Move the approval.
Second.
Understand this is the first stimulus project contract to be approved by the CTB. A historic moment. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Page 6.
The next project is in Prince Edward County. It's the rehabilitation of the eastbound lane of 460, a project length of about 2.9 miles from the Nottoway County line toward Farmville. Four bidders were interested in this project, very competitive bids, and recommend its award to you.
Approve. Approve.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Page 7.
Abstain, please.
Oh, I'm sorry. Can we note that for the record? Thank you. Sorry about that. Page 7.
Page 7, at the top of the page, 1A1, this is in Wythe County, Route 77, Versal District, sections on northbound and southbound lane. Two bidders were interested. We recommend its approval to you.
Move the approval.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
6A3 is in Fredericksburg District, Spotsylvania and Stafford County, several different locations on Interstate 95. As you'll note, three firms were interested. Very competitive pricing, a very tight series of bids in this particular project, and we recommend its award to you.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
The next project, 6A7, is also in Fredericksburg District. Eight sections on of pavement needing to be replaced on Route 3 and on Route 360. Although there was only one bidder, very good price, and we recommend its award to you.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Page 8.
Top of the page, 7A1 is in Culpeper District, various locations on Route 15, 17, and 28. Two bidders were interested in this project. Very good pricing, and I recommend its award.
Move approval.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
The next project, 7A3, also in Culpeper, and Culpeper in Orange Counties, on routes 15, 29, 299, 599, 20, and route 522, various sections. Two bidders were interested. We're very aggressively bidding and recommend its award to you.
Move approval.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Page 9.
Page 9. Excuse me. 9A7. It's in Loudoun County. Plant mix restoration on Route 7, 9, and 287. Four bidders were interested. Again, very competitively so, and recommend its award to you.
Wolfman, it's approval, Mr. Chairman.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Before we turn to the resolution, and maybe Mr. Walton, you might want to come up and join Mr. Carr or Mr. Curley on this. Just a couple observations. I think the bids received were the first time I've seen that during my tenure on the board. So we're in a healthy bid climate, but it also indicates the weakness of the industry. And one of the things that we absolutely want to remember is that but for many of those stimulus projects, many of those contractors who are bidding probably would go out of business. We don't reduce our construction budget in the way that we have and virtually every other state in the country is doing without having significant impacts on the industries that support that. So while it's great to see good bids and work underway, I think we also need to remember the importance of the Recovery Act funding to the individual businesses who hopefully can hang on until we come out of this economic recession. There are an enormous number of jobs at stake in this work, and that's a very important aspect and often overlooked part of our work. Mr. Sterling.
Mr. Chairman, as I looked at the ones that we just approved, the quick back of the envelope sort of calculation shows that somewhere 25% to 30% savings across them. So it was sort of mixed. As was indicated, one was a little above, but a lot were dramatically below. Are we getting some kind of sense which ones are coming in and what's driving the dramatically below versus those that are coming in near the estimated cost?
Two things primarily that we see. One that we always see is competition. And one of the things that we also see is the market that we have just awarded projects in our routine pavement schedule in the last several months. Firms that were not successful in winning one of our normal paving schedules, and paving is their normal business, were even more aggressive in bidding some of this work. In conversations that I've had with firms, it would appear, as the Secretary indicated, that many of the prices that we're seeing are shoestring and below prices to keep a company open.
No, I understand that aspect. I guess on the type of work that they're bidding or the type of work that is coming in below versus dramatically below. It was, what, 52 versus 32 on one? And then the type of work that is coming in closer to what the estimate. Is there any magical element of that type, that contract, that type of work? Not what the contractors are bidding necessarily, but construction's coming in dramatically lower than their paving. I mean, are we getting any sense from...
Currently, the steel market is very stable. One of the major projects you saw was Hampton Boulevard. And so one of the things, if the contractor has a lot of manipulation of his own forces, he can cut his labor market a little bit. And if it's a heavy materials type project, concrete, steel, those kind of things, he has more stability in those prices and he doesn't have to bid as much risk in the escalation of those things. So that's one of the things that we see.
So those projects which are more material oriented rather than labor oriented, you're saying, are
material being stable.
Yeah.
If he can self-perform a lot of that work, then he can also keep his labor somewhat stable. And so he's bidding less risk in those that have a lot of material that is predictable right now. And if he can compress his time of construction, and that's one of the things we see also is the logistics of how they will attack the project. If he can compress his time and cut his overhead, then we're seeing that reflected in some of the pricing as well.
Okay, any other questions for Mr. Coburn?
If not, I'd like to invite the chief engineer up to talk about the schedule and the resolution, and Mr. Walton will be here also to answer any questions. I believe there are two aspects. One is that there are some stimulus projects, contracts that fall below $2 million, so you want to see what those are. Then the chief engineer and the commissioner have developed a resolution that will allow other contracts to advance so we don't have to wait until our next CTB meeting. We don't want to slow these project and contract approvals down any more than is necessary. Mr. Curley, welcome home.
Thank you, sir. I passed out this. This is my challenge today about getting running down for Byron to get a copy here of what he wanted to show. We had a little glitch with staff, so I pieced a few things together. At the top, you'll see one, two, three, four, five projects that we're going to open the bids on the 28th of this month. And on the bottom, the one, two, three, four orange colored projects there will be coming in also at the same time. What we would like to get, and what the resolution, I understand Carol has passed out the resolution, we would like you to allow the commissioner to award these projects so we can move forward with them, taking advantage of the construction season, meet our commitments that we believe the board wants to move these projects quickly, that you would allow the Commonwealth Commissioner authorized to approve the bids and execute the contracts for these projects, for which we're going to receive on the 28th. It says on your resolution the 29th, but it would be the 28th, provided they're within the construction estimate that we have. And then we would come back at the June meeting and then report to you exactly what those dollar amounts, et cetera, everything. It would save us about 2 or 3 weeks. And we would ask your consideration to approve this resolution.
Chairman, I move the adoption of this resolution authorizing the commissioner to approve these bids.
Second.
Okay. Before we do that,
an amendment.
Just so we understand, this is the universe of projects that would be covered by this resolution?
Yes, this resolution will cover the top 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 projects, and then the 4 projects in the oranger color below.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, one clarification. He mentioned construction estimate. He was talking about an engineer's estimate instead of the 6-year plan amount.
It would be the estimate, yes, that we normally report to you.
Okay.
Any other questions? Mr. Martin.
Shouldn't the resolution then be reworded to say received before May 29th? And the other question is, if the board should decline affirmation for some reason, what is our legal position? Are we still obliged to go with whatever you've agreed to?
Okay. I can answer the first question while they're settling out the second question, and I apologize for the late nature of this, but this is in the interest of just moving these contracts along. The resolution should be revised so it says for which bids are received on May 28th. So we need to make that one correction. And I think that will address your first issue. And your second question, I'm going to let Mr. Curley and Mr. Walton address that. But my sense is, ultimately, the CTB has to approve all these contracts. What this will essentially do is allow the paperwork and the processing and the final negotiation of the documents to occur so that instead of waiting until after the CTB acts, that upfront paperwork will get done. But, Ms. Curley, there is an important hypothetical. What if the board changes its mind on one of these projects, which is...
I'll defer to Rick Walton, the legal question.
Mr. Walton, you have no one to defer to.
Well, yeah, I do. She sits in the back of the room. No, I mean, you've authorized the commissioner to enter into these, but you see the resolution also requires the board to affirm that. I mean, I guess if the board comes in and pulls that authorization, that's a debate we'll have with the contractor whether or not